From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. If you know the work of writer-director Sean Baker, you probably know it from his absurdist, sort of real-life fairy tales featuring a puppet character with real-life people stuff like Warren the Ape and Greg the Bunny. His feature films have been sort of like that, but still very different. I mean, incredibly gritty street tales that feel like fairy tales. His newest film as writer-director is the film Prince of Broadway. Sean, first of all, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I listen to this program religiously, so it's a little surreal for me to be here.
Well, good, because you're surrealist stuff, so it's perfect for you to feel like it's surreal. But okay. I guess what I wondered is how big an influence fairy tales, in the sense of Grimm's fairy tales, have on you, because everything you've done has kind of a fairy tale feel to it in some kind of way.
You know, I can't say that I really use fairy tales, but perhaps it has like a subconscious effect on it, on me somehow.
Well, if you can, tell the audience what Prince of Broadway is about.
Prince of Broadway is the story of two men who work in the wholesale district of New York City. One of the men, Lucky, is a West African immigrant who is selling counterfeit goods on the street. He's also an undocumented immigrant. The other man is Lavon, who is an Armenian-Lebanese immigrant who owns a shop who sells counterfeit goods out of a back room in which Lucky and other street hustlers take people on the street and bring them into this back room. So it's this relationship between the two guys. And what happens about 10 minutes into the film is that an ex-girlfriend approaches Lucky and pops a child down in his arms and says, "This is your kid. I've been dealing with him for a year and a half. I'm sick of it. It's your turn to look after him." And the presence of this child affects both men. And that's really where the story goes.
Well, I guess one of the reasons I ask about sort of fairy tale fables is that, you know, in this movie, in Takeout to some extent, in Greg the Bunny, Warren the Ape, they're all about people who have these sort of dreams about integrating themselves into like the promised land to some extent.
What I'm interested in film and television are human stories and really exploring the individual's hopes and dreams and desires. And also, I think going to places that mainstream cinema and television doesn't normally go.
But you were saying that a big influence on you is sort of the indie films of the early 90s, which are very much about that. This, you know, Hal Hartley, I'm guessing to some extent, a lot of the New York filmmakers who did that kind of stuff, your feature films feel very much like they could have come out of that period almost.
Oh, really? Well, that's a compliment. I mean, when I first came to NYU, my head was all about making the next Die Hard. I came in from the suburbs in New Jersey and I really thought, I was thinking from a very mainstream point of view, very Hollywood. And I really, I think those first couple of weeks being at NYU in the early 90s, I was introduced to Hal Hartley, Steven Soderbergh. Well, I had already known about Spike Lee and Jarmusch, but still it was really an introduction to that world of American indie film. Then from that point on, it was really the Clock Tower Library that's on 6th Avenue was right down the street from my dormitory, and I strolled over there one day and I saw a VHS box cover with a girl's knee on it. And the title of the film was Claire's Knee.
Oh, Eric Romer's Claire's Knee.
I said, that looks interesting. That was my introduction to world cinema. And from that point on, I had to educate myself about it, but it was a complete, for me, it was an awakening. And I really explored all world cinema at that point and got more interested in that sort of stuff, the European sensibility.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to the writer-director of the new film, Prince of Broadway, Sean Baker. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. Obviously, you mentioned Claire's Knee, and looking at all your work, behavior is as much a part of it as narrative. In fact, probably more so. I'm guessing emotional truth means more to you than just straightforward storytelling.
It definitely does. It's what speaks to me, obviously, with both of these films, and even to an extent with Warren the Ape, that's sort of a pseudo-reality show. The style is to go for this reality docudrama sort of thing. But it's also the intent beyond that style is to really capture emotional truth. And it's really, that's the ultimate goal, I think, of both the last two films. And really going to places and collaborating with the actors in order to bring that out and to bring it to the screen.
Tell the audience, too, what Takeout is about.
Oh, Takeout was my previous feature that I co-directed with Qiqing Zhou. This film is a day in the life of an undocumented Chinese immigrant who is dealing with a sizable smuggling debt. And one day he falls behind on this. And it's really watching the day at this local Chinese takeout in which he works, in which he's trying to, through tips, get the money that he needs by the end of the day.
The $800.
Yes, yes. It's a slice of life. It's a look at a section of New York City. It's a very social realist drama that, you know, an urban-based film, very much along the lines of those Italian neorealist films that I think we were very influenced by.
But I guess what I find so interesting in everything you've done, too, is how important street life is to everything you've done. I mean, the TV stuff and the feature stuff.
Well, you know, it excites me. I like street life. I enjoy it.
Do you like also that sense of chaos that street life seems to sort of, at least engender in dramatic terms?
Most definitely. And from a stylistic point of view, I think that it plays off so well on screen. I have to say that probably the inception of Prince of Broadway came from my desire to shoot that chaos in this neighborhood. It was this location, the wholesale district, that I've always considered the most energetic, colorful, vibrant, purely chaotic section of this city. And I told my friends, I want to shoot in this area. This could be, you know, there's so much to shoot. We didn't have a story, though. We didn't have characters. We didn't have anything. And when we started developing it, we thought, maybe this will be along the lines of Wayne Wang's Smoke, where we're going to look at one shop and just see the interactions of the customers and focus on maybe a relationship between two shop owners. That led to us doing a lot of research in the area. Victoria Tate, who plays the role of Nadia in the film, is also an associate producer. And we spent a year in this area. We came here once a week, twice a week, and interviewed people. And at first, everybody thought we were either NYPD or very annoying film school students. We had to convince them that we were just very annoying feature filmmakers. But we were very persistent. What happened was that everybody, I think, well, not everybody, but you know, about five people told us, look for Prince Adu. He'll like to talk to you. It took us about a month and a half, 2 months, and finally we actually just came upon Prince. He was working at a security, which is a legitimate job at one of the shops, and he was sitting in front. As we approached him, he said, if you put me in your film and make me the lead, I will, number one, help you find actors, number two, help you find locations, and three, help you out with your story, because I know you're going to need accuracy here. So he was basically became our consultant. He became such a vital part of this film that you can see he even influenced the title of the movie. Prince of Broadway comes from his name, Prince Adu. So, you know, we set forward there, and I went back to IFC for a second season of Greg the Bunny to raise enough money to make this movie. And Prince was so persistent, he would call me a couple times a week and say, when are we going to make this film? When are we going to make this film? And I said, Prince, please, I know I'm working here, but okay, if you lay off, I promise you we will make this movie. And it was at that point that I promised him we were going to make it, and I knew there was no looking back.
It's the treatment. The guy who's not looking back, sitting across from me, is Sean Baker. His new film as writer-director is Prince of Broadway. But as you're talking about this and having to get the trust of all the people in this neighborhood, that's also a pretty important element in your films, too. The protagonists are often trying to get people to trust them. I mean, there are worlds of suspicion, you know. You know, Warren is disruptive and Greg is trying to get people sort of trust him to. And that's a fascinating kind of area to start off if you're trying to create behavior-based drama.
I think that there are lots of characters, you're right, in both films that are actually looking for that one connection with another person to gain their trust and to show them that I'm a good person. You know, in this film with Prince and who, you know, the character of Lucky and Levon and their trust issues. I mean, they have this weird relationship where they're, you know, they're in the black market. They're selling counterfeit goods. They're
it's also in that case, too, they have to figure out if they can trust their customers or not, because they have to make sure they aren't cops.
Oh, yeah. It was when we first started doing research in this area, we had to go into some of those back rooms under the guise that we were customers. And you would always get the once over, and they would give you a look and maybe ask you a few questions. They would ask sometimes straight out, are you police? Are you cops? And we would, you know, no. You know, in both takeout and prints, there was that entire process. And I would say it was an entire stage in which you have to gain the trust of the community that you're working with. And it's not just trust, and you're not trying to just use them, but you're trying to bond, because you have to bond in order to collaborate.
But there's also a trust issue in Prince of Broadway, too, in that it's a constant issue of, is this his kid or not?
Yes.
And there's a big plot point in that, too. I mean, for me, trust and suspicion are kind of like sort of like the two themes of the film.
That's very much what we were going for with a lot of the subtext. We were playing with the idea of what is real and what isn't. And even if something is fake, can it be accepted as real if it looks good enough? And that applies not just to the handbags and the sneakers. It applies to marriages and, you know, green card marriages in which people go into for different motives. And of course, the child.
Mm-hmm. And the green card marriage, in the case of Levin, yes, becomes in his mind a real marriage.
Right.
So that really was something you started off with as being kind of your subtext from the outset.
No, it didn't. No, it grew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was an organic process where we decided, once we have this child, who an illegitimate child that may or may not be his, how can we develop this on Levon's side? And we knew right away, we can go with a marriage that could be considered fake in some people's eyes. So it was really, you know, a step-by-step organic process in which we found these characteristics in people that could apply to that subtext.
Well, it's funny, too, because you talked about being, when you got started, interested in making commercial film, which is a film that tells you exactly what it's about as soon as you sit down and the lights go dark in the theater. Mm. And your films, as a filmmaker, have been about taking your time and feeding the audience bit by bit and really not stating what the film's about until about 20 or 25 minutes in both cases.
You know, it's a balance in which you have to, because with this sort of cinema, sometimes people want a light narrative. They just want to see a character doing stuff throughout the day, which, hey, I love. I love that in cinema. But with this, I made the conscious choice of making it a little more narrative heavy and having beginning, middle, and end and having character arcs.
But also, I guess that's sort of that point where it becomes just sort of so distended when Levin's story with the woman who we find is his wife, that really takes a long time to set itself into motion, too.
It does. And that, I don't know if it was originally scripted that way. That was part of the editing. I edited the film myself, and knowing that I would...
And shot it too.
Yeah. And to a certain degree, I knew I would find the film in editing. We had all of the scenes blocked out, scripted, but we allowed ourselves room to change the order of things if we had to. And that was one of those things where Levon's story was fleshed out a little bit later than we had originally intended it in the script. Because I think for purpose of getting the audience into this world, we wanted to focus on the street hustler and the incident with the child first, and then start developing the rest of the world.
Okay, we'll take a break. We're back. My guest is Sean Baker. His new film as writer-director is the film Prince of Broadway. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. More to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
I Welcome back to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. I'm talking to the writer-director of the great new film, Prince of Broadway, Sean Baker. We were talking before we got started, and you had told me that your sister studied acting and studied Meisner, which is so much about behavior and so much about subtext being part of everything, and in fact, the subtext being the real story and a complete departure from the text. And that obviously has been an influence on the way you worked as a writer-director, too.
Stefanik Youth is my sister, and she... bringing this the Meisner technique of repetition, really, in which the actors sort of repeat lines to one another and define something in what they're trying to say. I don't know if I'm articulating that perfectly, but we use this with the non-professionals, meaning the people who came in and never acted before,
which is the majority of the cast.
Exactly, and it works so well. I have to say that seeing Karin Karagulian work with Victoria Tate, who also comes from a Meisner background, and
Karin plays Levon.
Karin plays Levon, and if you watch that scene where they're actually separating, they're saying the same things to one another. This is a fake marriage. This isn't a fake marriage, or you know, it's
tussling over the bag.
Yes, exactly, and it just comes across to me as just so real and truthful.
You used a Karin before, too. Right?
I did. I edited and produced a short film he was in. He had a small role in Takeout, but it was such a scene stealer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. he was basically an angry customer who complained about getting the wrong order. And you know, he's gotten a lot of attention overseas. We've had a great festival run to die for. I mean, it was really, we got to travel the world with the movie. And in Locarno, people were just, who is this guy? Who is Karin? Is he big over in, is he a star over in America? No, but he's trying to be. You know, the great thing is that Karin is so, he's so subtle. And he's so humble at the same time. He didn't even really get the acting bug until Prince of Broadway. I was forcing him to be in Takeout and this other thing I did. But he,
how'd you meet him?
He actually is a friend of a friend, and he works in the area. And he is just somebody who's a great guy. And I knew that he had potential. He has a real character appeal. He's very appealing, and he has a very strong presence. So I knew that I would be using him.
It's interesting watching those two guys because clearly you're playing what they are as people. Prince, I do, talks a lot, and Karin is mostly pretty patient. And there's a really kind of beautiful subtext in the scene where the baby first comes into the store where he seems like he's a little upset, but he starts to stroke the kid's face. And you can see that something's developing, which ends up working its way into his marriage as well.
Yes. And, Karin has children himself. And I think that the way that he interacted with Aiden was amazing.
And Aiden is, we should say, is the baby who doesn't even have a name for the first two-thirds of the movie.
Exactly.
I guess I just find that interesting, all that behavior, because you were talking about repetition, which is, I don't know if you know, it's also a big part of Mamet, too, which comes out of that whole Meisner thing.
Right.
People sort of repeat and repeat and repeat, and it becomes a way to sort of have a goal be subtext rather than text.
I have to say it's just something that I'm drawn to. I just love to watch great dialogue and the way people interact and the way strangers interact. Have you ever gone people watching? Sometimes you just sit on the subway car and watch the way that people interact. It's
walking through this part of town, especially that stretch you're talking about, where it's like about five or six different plays going on at once.
Oh my gosh.
And watching the way the street hustlers work the crowd, and it's always about them seducing and trying to figure out the best way to do that.
Oh yeah. There's a scene on every corner.
And that must have been where you saw that there was a movie just because of so much drama being played out on the streets over here.
We actually, when we created some of the drama, the other drama came to us. I mean, when we did the baby drop-off scene, we had permits, of course, but we didn't own the street in any way. In terms of our production, we didn't have, those weren't extras in the background. Those were real people. And as soon as we stopped shooting, we'd have our production assistants run over to them and say, you were just on camera and would you like to be in our film? And if so, can you sign this release? It was one of those productions. So, but why I'm bringing this up is because when we did something like the baby drop-off scene, because we had such a small crew and because there's this one camera there, the drama of that little chaotic moment where there was that fight on the street corner drew the attention of everybody on the street. So all of the the guys hanging out across the street started looking over and screaming. And as the police drove up, they were screaming, po, 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 po. And all that stuff lent itself to the scene. I just worked it in.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to Sean Baker, whose new film is director and writer, is Prince of Broadway. Speaking of writing, I thought that Mike Lee had to be an influence because the way he shapes a film is he lets the actors really kind of dictate the way the dialogue is going to flow and what the character is going to say. And you said you had a script written, but then you sort of did some improvising and let the actors find their own characters, right?
Right. Heavily influenced by Mike Lee. However, the process was slightly different. What we did is that I wanted a lot of that initial improv to happen on camera. I was shooting HD, so it allowed me to run a lot of videotape. So what I hear his process is that he develops it in workshop type environment, then gets it all on paper, and then they perform it to that, right, to the word. We did it where we provided everybody with a script, said, here's some dialogue we wrote. We're not married to it. Put it into your own words. You know, you can keep this line and this line and this line because it's expositional and it's for dramatic purposes. You have to say that. But for the most part, just get from point A to point B. So what we did is that we only had about one or two rehearsals to make sure everybody was bonding. And then we went right into production and allowed them to improvise. I wanted that improvise to be fresh and to be caught on camera as it was happening for the first time.
And it's interesting, too, because you also told me that that the baby's mother plays in the movie is his real life mother, too.
Yes, Kat Sanchez, and she was great. And it was very difficult for her, obviously, because of her actions in the film. So to get her to complete, and she only acted in like some junior high school plays. So to get her to that emotional state where she would actually drop off her child in the arms of virtually not a stranger, but somebody she barely knew, it was tough for her. And that was one of the toughest scenes to do, that baby drop off scene. And it took a long time, and we had to really get her to the point where her emotional state was desperate enough and to give over this child.
But you like desperate characters, though, don't you?
I guess I do.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to watch your stuff before. That's kind of key. I mean, Prince starts off as being, or I should say Lucky starts off as being kind of fairly calm. I shouldn't say calm, but pretty confident guy. And suddenly, and even has a kind of a plan for his future and is thrown into desperate straits almost immediately. You can say the same thing with the Takeout and certainly with Warren the Ape and Greg the Bunny. They're all varying states of anxiety and desperation that are in the things you do.
I hope that doesn't mean I'm just way over the top, but as long as it's not melodramatic, that's...
Oh, really? Is it important that it not be melodramatic, that you want to feel real?
Yes, that's a definite... that was on our minds the entire time. Are we being too melodramatic here? And we had to pull back. And we almost didn't... I don't want to give away the ending here, but we almost didn't have that last shot of the film because we thought it might be a little bit sappy, a little bit melodramatic, but it just kept working for us no matter what. We had watched it over and over and over again and tried different music with it. And it was really surprising, by the way, that I actually put music into this film. I didn't want to. With Takeout, I didn't have any music.
Yeah, Takeout really feels almost like there's a dog influence in that.
It very, very much so. It was very stark. And the only music that you would hear would be coming from a radio that somebody would be playing. And that's the same thing with Prince. But then we go with one music track at the end of the film, which was tough for me. I have to say it was a struggle to allow myself to do that. But it just seemed to be working. And we went for it.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to the writer-director of the new film, Prince of Broadway, Sean Baker. You say you find yourself avoiding melodrama, but you ended up finding as kind of a sort of a patron, a man whose films are very melodramatic, Lee Daniels.
Lee is so generous for coming on and helping our film and putting his name on as presenter. He had seen both of my films while on the nominating committee for the Independent Spirit Awards. Both films were nominated the same year, so they were competing against one another in the John Cassavetes Award section. And
you say that's the category for films under $500,000.
Yes, yes. So after the award ceremony, about a week later, Lee gave me a call. I was on my bike at the time, and I get this call from an unknown number. I pick it up, and it's Lee Daniels. We had a discussion about how the film, the production style, how we went about shooting it clandestinely and in this area, and how he wanted to know about the budget and how we basically pulled it off in a very guerrilla style way. I remember hanging up the phone saying, oh my God, I just got off the phone with the director of Precious. What was that? So the relationship was already forged there. And then we signed with a company by the name of Elephant Eye Films. They put out Sebastian Silva's The Maid last year. And it's a wonderful new distributor who's really, I'm not just saying this because they have my film, but I love their taste in films. And they had a relationship with Lee. They had worked with him, and plus they were the foreign sales rep on Precious. So the idea just came up that, hey, do you think that Lee might be interested in presenting this movie and sort of do what Tyler Perry and Oprah did for his? We gave him a call, and he agreed. He came on, and he's been helping us along. It's been great.
It's going to be great, too, to have a film really find it, this kind of life by playing all these festivals, and it played so many festivals. And I just wondered, watching the film play, at, especially with international, overseas audiences, what the experience was like, and if they were, you found they were responding generally in the same way to the film, if it kind of crosses cultural boundaries in some way, just because it's such a mix of cultures in the, both of the films anyway.
There's something universal about it. I didn't realize that until it was playing. Let's see. We went to 3 African festivals. We were in Asia and Korea, South America. I think it's basically because of the child, and what people, I guess people find something in watching this this character sort of find what it's like to be a father. There's something about that just obviously universal.
I guess I find that one of the funniest consistent things in the movie, and I guess clearly you discover this after you cast Aiden as the child, is that the only word he really says, besides his mother's name, interestingly, the fictional character's name, is he says no all the time.
Yeah, that's true. There was another thing he picked up, yeah, and that worked into the film so well, because he actually does sort of a high five to Prince and says yeah, and it pays off at the end of the movie in one of the final scenes. So that again, obviously was not, he's a year and a half years old. He wasn't acting. This is just a happy accident. And it's just me documenting this child amongst actors. I mean, there were a lot of happy accidents with this movie, I have to say.
What was the first screening in New York like?
It was at the African Diaspora Film Festival. And to tell you the truth, we didn't have a big turnout. It's strange that this film has played better to LA audiences than New York audiences and Floridian audiences. I can't explain it. But, you know, now that we're opening in New York, I think this is the time that now New Yorkers are going to be aware of this movie. And I hope New Yorkers will want to see this movie, being that it's so NYC. So we'll see how audiences take to it. I'm hoping that they think that we represent New York correctly, and I hope they accept the movie.
I'm sure they will. Sean, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
My guest is Sean Baker. His new film is about a director, is Prince of Broadway. Our recording engineer at Argo Studios in New York is Paul Ruiz. The show is mixed by J.C. Swanick. It's edited and produced by Gemma Dempsey. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.